In more Palestine news, Canada will not be closing a loophole that allows munitions parts to be sent to Israel via sales to the United States. After NDP MP Jenny Kwan's private members' bill, C-233, also known as the No More Loopholes Act, was voted down in Parliament last Wednesday. Now, Canada has had an official arms embargo with Israel since the beginning of 2024, but groups like Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East say a loophole exists. Most of the weapons and ammunition that flow from Canada to the U.S. are exempt from Canada's export control regime. And observers say this has very likely led weapons parts made in Canada to be used by Israel in Gaza. There is also reporting that has traced these flows. Foreign Affairs Minister Anita Anand, meanwhile, says the claims in the bill were inaccurate. Here she is speaking to CKUT on a visit to Montreal back in January.
The bill that is being put forward, in our view, is not accurate. We have a particular moratorium ourselves on sending any weapons and have not done so or authorized any permits, that is, since January 2024.
Now, Bill C-233 has been the focus of organizing here in Montreal as well as across Canada, and there were three Montreal MPs who voted in favor of the bill. CKUT spoke to Alexandre Boularis, who represents Haussmann La Petite Patrie for the NDP, about his favorable vote last week. Here's our conversation. So we're speaking because last week Parliament voted down Bill C-233, also known as the No More Loopholes Act. How are you and your party feeling about that defeat?
It's really sad. It was a really important bill. And I think that as Quebecer or Montrealer or Canadian, we have certain values, and in those values, it's the defense of human rights, the life of civilians, the protection of civilians during conflicts, and also the fact that we don't want to be complicit in crimes against humanity or even genocide, like we saw in Gaza, and the fact that the Conservatives, the Bloc Québécois, and the vast, vast majority of Liberals have, voted against our proposition that would, increase the protection of civilians around the world concerning the exportation of Canadian weapons. I think it showed the hypocrisy of those three parties. And, it was a sad day, in fact, because we had a lot of support in the population. There was a vast coalition about, limiting the exportation of weapons that can be used against civilians and populations. But it's an important issue, and we will continue to fight for it and put pressure on the Liberal government.
Yeah, and I know, there were several groups in Montreal who were pushing for that bill. Anita Anand, when she spoke in Montreal last month, had protesters outside who were calling for her to adopt the act. But and CKUT asked her about the bill when she was here, and she basically said that the claims in the bill about loopholes existing were inaccurate, that Canada already has an arms embargo in place. Why do you think that the Liberals took this position, especially when there has been reporting saying, well, there are these cases of weapons parts getting through the U.S.?
Yeah, I think that the minister wants to mislead citizens with false information, because it's right that we already have a process about the exportation of weapons and arms, but it's true also that there's a loophole, and that's why Jenny Kwan tabled that important bill, because we have a risk assessment, evaluation process before giving the permit to sell arms to another country. But in the law, there's just an exemption called United States of America. So if you sell to the states, and after that they transfer those weapons to another country, let's say Saudi Arabia or the Israel of Mr. Netanyahu, there's no problem because you sold it to the U.S. So after that, we don't care what will happen with those weapons or those parts. And we know that some weapons from Valleyfield, for example, were sold to the U.S. and after that used against Palestinians. And same thing with some electronic parts in the neighborhood of Ottawa that were sold to the U.S. and after that be put in F-35 that were sold to Israel and after that used against against Palestinians. So it's a little bit, you know, it's a show of hypocrisy in the, from the liberals to say, oh, we already have a process when there's a big, big gap in that process called it, and it's selling to the United States. And after that, we are like blind after that.
You know, obviously the Mark Carney government has affirmed Palestinian statehood. It has taken measures to differentiate itself from the United States in this conflict. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, the government has sort of taken a position of caution towards the United States during trade negotiations. Do you think that that played a role, basically, that the government felt that it was too big of a risk?
I think that, of course, Mr. Carney, you know, as, you know, a businessman and a banker, he's thinking about, you know, our, you know, the exportation to the United States in general and the negotiation of the free trade agreement with the States and Mexico that is coming in the next weeks or months. But at the same time, you know, remember the Davos speech saying that we want to live in a world that respect human rights and, you know, multilateralism and peace. And we don't have to bow to superpowers and we have to work with the other middle powers in the world to create a more stable and peaceful world. And after that, he does the opposite. You know, if you're serious about international law, you should say that the, you know, the occupation and expansion of illegal colonies in West Bank are completely against international law and peace in the region, that the, what happened in Gaza was probably a genocide, at least war crimes or crimes against humanity. You should support the International Court of Justice and the International Penal Court also. It's not, you cannot choose when you want to defend international law or not. Otherwise, you're not serious. And more too often, the liberals are playing that game. You know, in big speeches, they are really good. After that, in concrete measures, it's really, really disappointed. And we saw that with Mr. Carney recently when he said, oh, first, I support the attack and bombardments against Iran. And after that, oh, I support it, but with regrets. And after that, we are asking the parties to diminish their you know, aggressivity and the launch of missiles. This is not really serious. You know, if you do the big show at in Switzerland at Davos, after that you should upheld your own values and ideas.
Just to bring it back to local politics for a second, you know, you're the only NDP MP in the province, but two other Montreal MPs and three in Quebec in total voted in support of the bill. The others in Montreal are Liberals Stephen Guilbeault and Samir Zuberi. Yeah. What do you make of the fact that both of them supported the bill and that, you know, the Bloc didn't?
Yeah, I thank them. Really, I thank them to have the courage to do the right thing and to support human rights and to say that, you know, our current process have a big loophole and a big gap. And I really don't understand the vote of the Bloc Québécois. This is a lack of courage. And frankly, in the corridors of the House of Commons, I told them that I was disappointed and I didn't understand their vote. They are saying that the bill was not well written or something like that. But I said, come on, this was a rigorous process from Jenny Kwan and her team. I know her, and she was working with a coalition of organizations all across the country. I don't know. Maybe the Bloc wants also to protect some industries in Quebec, you know, building weapons, and they got some pressure from some business to protect their possibility of exportations to the United States. But it shows me that the Bloc is not serious about peace and about the fact that we should respect international law. And it's a big disappointment for me, because I was expecting much more from them.
And looking ahead, we not only have the war in Gaza, but now a regional war. Yeah. What can we expect from you and, you know, other MPs who are against this war? What does that struggle and the future of that struggle look like in Parliament?
But, you know, in Parliament, we already asked a couple of questions to the government. I did. Don Davies, from our MP from Vancouver, one other MP from Vancouver, that did it also. He's the interim leader. And we will continue to put pressure because we want the Canada to be a voice of peace and protection of civilians. And it's not only what's happening in Iran, but also in Lebanon, where more than 500,000 of people have been displaced because of the aggression of Israel right now. So, you know, we will ask the government to ask for a ceasefire, protection of civilians, and the end of the hostilities, and to give the United Nations and the International Organization for Atomic Energy, you know, to continue negotiations and inspections. There were actually negotiations 3 weeks ago, and they were really close to a deal about the nuclear program of Iran. And after that, Israel and United States suddenly decided to bombard Iran. But it's not a way we should do things. And I think Canada should push for the respect of the process of United Nations. Otherwise, we don't live in a really safe world.
Okay, Alexandre Boudaris, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
And we are back live on CKUT 90.3.